condensed version of the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, Derek Brandale, and in for David Sisboombaugh, in for Jen Rolnick, Lance Romance Kennedy.
Not correct.
What?
I may have misled you. So Jen is here doing the cameras, and Lance is on the board pressing the buttons. So
no Derek Brandale.
Derek Brandale is probably sleeping. He's at home.
Boy, did I butcher that one.
Well, listen, you're not on the hook, I don't think, on that
I literally told you 1 second before we started when I heard Lance's voice. I'm like, oh, crap.
Is this the condensed version of this show I can expect off of that start?
Let's find out.
Wherever you are, Sportsnet 590, Sportsnet 360, Sportsnet Plus, we're glad you're aboard here in our one-hour version of the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Toronto Maple Leafs, Boston Bruins last night. Not a bad start, but not the outcome that Leaf fans wanted as they dropped a 4-2 decision to the Boston Bruins, losing and now putting them back in a little bit of a hole here as this series moves forward. We're going to dissect a lot of things, and we're going to crash a lot of things in the next hour. But I want to start, first of all, with the feeling of the building letting down the team. And I know we had a conversation about this off air moments ago, Sammy, about Joe Bowen, who is the voice of the Toronto Maple Leafs, play-by-play guy. He put a tweet out there, and I think it was a challenging tweet, that the building's too quiet. And in many ways, it's now running up against the Vancouver Canuck fans or the Winnipeg fans.
Edmonton.
Like, where are your thoughts here on that, when the Leafs had come back tied 1-1 in this series?
I don't know. I wasn't in the building. So watching on TV, to me, the lower bowl looked bad. It looked bad. It straight up looked quiet. Didn't look like there was a lot of energy. Like, they got going pretty good at the end of the first, when there was that big shift where Benoit lays out Pasta and Reeves nails Zacha, and they get going pretty good. But just on TV, and, you know, compared to watching the other buildings and the other games, it didn't look that great. And, you know, it's something that jumped out to me. But I wasn't there. I wasn't in the building. You were there.
I was there. I left yesterday's show, jumped on the TTC.
Wow.
Went down there.
Were you lobbing off your millions of fans?
I didn't find Willie, by the way. And trust me, I looked. Willie, under the seats?
Yeah.
Nowhere to be found. But I felt the vibe the moment I got on the subway. Leaf fan jerseys everywhere, people excited, walked in the building, and it felt great.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Now, I also did a hit after the show, so I did not stay for a good portion. I came back home in between periods, caught the third period on TV, did a hit with Ivanka and Ken after for Sportsnet Central. I don't know what happened between the start, the first half of the game, and the second half of the game in the building, but that first part, man, it didn't disappoint me.
No. I'm glad to hear that. And also, I said to you guys when I came in, it's like, if I paid $500 for a hockey ticket to go watch that game and people were lecturing me the next day on what my responsibilities are to the team, I wouldn't be real pleased about that.
But I think that's what the problem is that a lot of people feel as though the real fans are priced out.
For sure. And that is a lot absolutely of people, a valid.
And people that, you know, are willing to spend $650 on a ticket for a lower bowl, or probably more than that last night, quite honestly. Like, I don't know what they were going for on secondary market, but it would have been a lot.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's not my buddy from the Schwa in the building.
Absolutely. It's a different
crowd. It's people in different tax brackets.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they're more willing to act like idiots. I don't know. I'm not trying to shame that way, but it just didn't look good to me on TV. Didn't sound good compared to other markets.
Well, I thought it was great.
It sounded great for me to the start. And I really thought that first period validated the Toronto Maple Leafs in terms of being a team that can beat the Boston Bruins in many ways at their own game. Is there stuff to clean up? Absolutely. And we're going to discuss them right here. But as far as that feeling that we're going to get out-muscled, we're going to get pushed around, that is gone. The Leafs are a bigger, stronger team. And I think Brad Marchand reiterated that, that this is not your normal Toronto Maple Leaf team that they've seen in the past.
No. And, you know, I agree, Kip. I, you know, despite being down 2-1, I think you could feel pretty good about the way the Leafs have played. But it's unfortunate to have lost, obviously, last night. But there was a moment last night, we discussed this a little bit before, just where it felt like Boston was getting rattled. You know, Benoit, Reeves, Labushkin, Edmondson, all the McCabe running into guys over and over. You had the coach, Montgomery, was complaining to the refs. You know, Marchand is getting tangled up with Bertuzzi. Like, it felt like the Bruins were a little bit on tilt. And it was like, this is what it looks like when you start to be like, God, this is so, Pastrnak can't score. Like, it felt like the Leafs had him in a good spot. Brutal to let it get away, but that doesn't change where they're at in the series or the way Boston would feel about the Leafs.
You got a comment before I go to Sheldon?
I think the hitting and the physicality, I've never seen it come more natural to a Leafs team than it does to this one. It doesn't feel like it's other than game one that felt a little bit manufactured, it feels like it's really coming natural to them. And I love the physicality, but the issues remain, boys. It's been, you know, 3 goals or fewer in 10 straight games, and the penalty kill again. So.
Okay, we're going to get into that. Let's just go and get Sheldon Keefe's thoughts on our first Kippers Clipper here on where he thought it may have switched or gone wrong in the hockey game.
Well, there's a few things. Obviously, you know, again, there's just little mistakes at very important times that end up in our net. But in general, I just didn't think we got to our game nearly as much tonight as we did in the others. I was, credit to Boston, played hard, made it hard to get to the neutral zone. I didn't think we did enough to manage through that.
So he just sounds like he didn't like it a whole lot.
Yeah. I thought that was the Leafs better, maybe one of their best defensive looks in terms of D-zone coverage. You know, I saw at times in the D-zone, it's Benoit and McCabe and Kampf and these guys keeping them outside. They didn't give up a ton. You know, you talked about it being a patient game and needing to stay patient. I thought they did a good job at that. You know, the Frederick one, you know, you want to save. I don't have much analysis beyond that.
Yeah, no. I'm going way more critical.
On what? Which part?
The goal.
For Samsonov?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
No. You're much too kind on you'd like a save. That is a killer, okay? That sucked the life right out of the game, in my opinion. That goal cannot go in. And we'll get into the factors on why it happened, but not in a million years should that goal go in from there. Short side. So we were just having a discussion off the air on, I don't know how it started. Somebody had a tweet asking for memorable
backbreaking. Goes Brown. Yeah. Talking about backbreaking moments and plays from your favorite.
And you guys just moments ago showed me Joe Nieuwendyk going against Ottawa on Patrick Laline in the early 2000s.
One of the greatest days of my life. Anyways, continue.
Ignore that.
That's Trent's goal last night for me.
It is.
Yes.
The Leafs are up. The Bruins are starting to get frustrated. McAvoy pulls down Matthews. Marchand is getting into it like they're on tilt. The Leafs are leading and just shoots one in from distance with good coverage.
So one of our best guests on our show over the last few years has been Steve Alliquette.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay?
And he is analytics. That's what he does. He puts numbers together.
Clearsight Analytics, this company.
He told me that they've got analytics that close to 700 shots from there on.
This is going to hurt.
I don't want to know this.
On that area, gaining that zone on a 1-on-2.
Yeah.
How many goals have gone in?
Is it like 3?
I'm going to
bingo.
I was going to say 2, so
3.
Oh my.
3. That's less than 1% of that shot on a 1-on-2 go in. Oh
my God. It's well placed. It hits the post.
So that's why it's a killer.
Yeah.
And to me, it shook Samsonov. I don't think he was the same. I thought he looked a little shaky. I thought he looked a little scary after that. Even the Marchand shot that led to the DeBrusk goal, he's just kind of like standing up and he bats it into the slot.
Well, was that after the face-off, the shot from the neutral zone that kind of hit him in the collarbone? Yeah, I don't know that he was paying attention.
I don't know. It just got a little squirrely after that when it went in. But so you talk about that goal and it can't go in. Can we talk about what led to that?
Love to.
So I thought the Leafs got an awesome whistle last night. I thought they got, how many power plays did they end up with? Five, right? Yeah. I thought they got a very fair whistle. I thought that, you know, they got more power plays than the Bruins, and I thought the refs did fine in that. But the one that they missed, the most blatant one on Austin Matthews where he gets suplexed, hold on, that leads immediately to that play. And in the space-time continuum, if you call that penalty, the only real blatant one of the whole game, that play on Samsonov, that never happens. It's blown dead. They have all the momentum and they're going on a power play. I know their power play stinks. They probably don't score, but that changed the entire momentum of the game. Entire momentum.
I'm totally on board with you and any other person that tells me, how can you not get a holding penalty on Matthews behind the net in the offensive zone?
It's crazy.
So it's nuts to me. It's ridiculous, and it's just a blatant missed call, okay? But I loved the fact that Bertuzzi and Marchand are going at it, and the ref says,
do your thing.
Hey.
I don't need a whistle there. I don't need a whistle there.
Don't need to watch your shenanigans. It's like a parent with two kids going at it in the back seat.
Figure it out.
Just shut up.
It was a dive-off. It has
no bearing on where the puck is, but it does have a domino effect because of the chaos that it caused, and Craig Simpson talked about it on the air last night, that allowed Trent Frederick to gain the zone so easily. It was a distraction, and without it, maybe he doesn't gain the line on a one-on-two. Maybe they stand him up, and he never gets that shot on goal.
Yeah.
So it did have an effect on the play, but it didn't have an effect to call it a penalty, which I liked.
Which I think brings us to Marchand and Bertuzzi's kind of back and forth that they've been having in this series, and I've talked to some people being like, you can't do that with Marchand. He's too good at this.
And I agree.
Oh, I don't. I'm fine with those two. If they want to have a little brother-brother thing all series, that's great for the Leafs.
But it's not great for the Leafs.
It is, because he's not in Mitch Marner's ear like he has been in the past saying, I'm going to get you. He's not on Matthews. He's not on Tavares. And he won't be on Nylander. If they can cancel Marchand
with
Bertuzzi...
But they're not canceling him. He killed you last night.
He kills them because that one goes in the net. They end up getting a couple breaks. It's a great shot. It's a great shot that he goes up and he gets an empty. I understand. Listen, I'm not saying he didn't play well last night. But I am fine if those two want to cancel each other
out. It's not working
out
for the Leafs, JB.
It didn't last.
It's not. Yeah. It's not working out. And when I look at the three games, how many penalties have the Leafs taken because of Marchand?
Feels like
Domi
a few.
And Bertuzzi are in the box. By the way, Bertuzzi and Domi, you're on the number one line.
Yeah.
Okay. How many penalties have you taken in this series because of this guy?
Mm-hmm.
You're on the number one line. Don't you have bigger responsibilities than worrying about Marchand and going into the box. It's not working out for them.
No, the penalties, certainly in the first game, I thought it was a big issue. Domi coming out and the way it kind of went about it. I thought last night Marchand was as invested in that little tete-a-tete, little thing they were having as Bertuzzi was. And I think forecasting that, I like it. I understand it hasn't worked out so far. But he is, in the end, he gets the upper hand and probably feels good about the way he's gone. And now you got the coach talking about it. We're talking about it becomes a win.
Would you like to hear the head coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs talk about Brad Marchand?
I really would.
All right, let's clip two, please.
Well, you got to play through it. You got to recognize, you know, he's a world-class player, both in ability and in how he plays. I mean, the gamesmanship and everything, it's world class, and he's been in the league long enough. As you can see, he gets calls. It's unbelievable, actually. How it goes, but he we got to play through that. Got to play through that stuff. I don't think there's another player in this series that gets away with taking out Bertuzzi's legs the way that he does. There's not one other player in the series that gets away with that, but he does. Because, you know, it's an art, and he's elite at it. So we have to manage our way through that, avoid putting ourselves in situations where he can put us in those spots. You know, and then as far as this game, I think we've managed that pretty well for the most part. You know, obviously tonight we make him a mistake at a key time that allows him to get the winner.
It's an intelligent comment.
I disagree. What? You're doing the exact same thing you're asking your players not to do. You're engaging with him. Like you are doing the coach's version of cross-checking him in front of the net. You're giving him all the time. You're talking about how elite he is and how it's unbelievable he gets away with all this stuff. You're doing exactly what you're telling your players not to do. It's infuriating. I hated that. Hated that.
To me, I see a coach who has watched his last three series is John Cooper, Paul Maurice, and, you know.
He's trying to crawl into heads. Is that what you're telling me?
I'm saying this is tactical to him. That is to draw some attention to this guy.
He practiced that one in the mirror before he went out there. Yeah. It's like, I hated that.
You're not going to come out on top if you're going to try to out Marchand.
No. And you know what's crazy, too, is Marchand, statistically this year, he's John Tavares. They both had 29 goals in 80 games and 65 points. I think Marchand at 67. They're the same offensive player. It's this stuff you need to avoid him winning and making you think about him. Worry about the Bruins at large. The Bruins aren't at large. Not the best team. I'm not worried about that team winning a Stanley Cup by any stretch. It's, you know, in terms of getting by them, you can't let this be the Brad Marchand show.
I really hope Old Takes Exposed doesn't listen to our show, because yesterday I was just making fun of him for being a diver and crying and what he acts like
None
on the
those
ice.
Those things were disproved.
And then immediately just reverse jam in my eye. Kills the Leafs.
But you weren't wrong. You said he's great and he does those things. I mean, both those things were correct.
He's just a Leaf fan.
He's
that's all.
He's a killer. And, like, I hate his guts, but I do just respect the hell out of him. Like, he just, hey, he's a dog, man. He's an absolute dog.
There's no club in his bag he can't hit.
Bingo.
Yeah. No, I mean, listen, the shot he makes last night, say maybe you want the save or whatever. If you went up to the net and hand-placed where you would want to put it in the net, that shot, that's where he put it. It's a great shot.
Just watch his work along the walls. Watch him with his ability, 5 feet inside his own blue line, 5 feet outside his blue line, 5 feet in the offensive zone on either way. He wins so many battles. He makes the right decisions. He's in the right spots.
Great on the power play. Excellent on the penalty kill.
And buries you. Sticks a dagger in you with, what, 3 inches high on Samsonov?
It's a great shot. No doubt about it. Maybe do you want to hear Montgomery on Marchand before we turn the page
on him?
Yeah,
I do.
Right, let's listen to clip one, Montgomery.
It's the way we did it. Like, morning skate, I saw the way we were. I saw the way our captain was. And I just knew we were going to have a good game. Didn't know we were going to win, because the Leafs are a good hockey team. But I knew we were coming to play.
In what way? What did you see from Brad in morning skate?
Well, he started barking the first drill before. I go, what's 3 minutes early? He goes, let's go. I loved it.
I have to tell you, I have never struggled more cutting a clip in my life than cutting that one, but I did it for you guys. I did it for the audience.
Yeah.
The way that Jim Montgomery, I'm all the way there. The way he was just waxing poetic last night. Now he's happy. Now, oh, you mind staying in Toronto now, you big crybaby? Are you okay with that? Or? Anyways, continue.
All right.
Okay, where do you want to go? You want to go?
We got to hit the power play first and foremost.
Okay. 0-5. What needs to be said? Because this has been a broken record for a very long time. Yeah. So what were we expecting?
Better. I wish I had a whiteboard here so we could actually talk about the power play, like the way that they go about it. So, two quick thoughts. One of them is that if you want to make plays, backdoor passes, and sneaky little slips and stuff, you need to move the puck around. Just let's start there. In the O-zone, they need to move the puck around a little bit more. The other thing, though, is Marner has to play low. he needs to be the goal line guy for this to be effective. Because who are their shooting options right now? Matthews? You got another one for me? There's none. Like, without Marner Lowe to pass it up to Tavares, who pops in the slot, Tavares is a non-shot threat. Riley's a non-shot threat. Marner doesn't shoot it. You only have Matthews. So the whole PK is, don't let the puck go to Matthews and the goalie can read it. So you need Marner down low where he can go behind the net. He can make great creative plays, do all he does, so you can make other guys threats. Right now, Bertuzzi and Tavares down there, it's not enough. They need to move where he's playing on the flank. Plus,
great breakdown.
Thank you.
Because
they got to do something different. This ain't working.
Yeah, and find Willie. That could help too.
Well, yeah, but
would help. That would put him on the flank where he normally is, and Marner down low.
Like, Willie helps, but I mean, it's been bad with Willie too. No, and the power plays, you see the stat I put in the lineup today, the last 17 postseason meetings between the Bruins and the Leafs. The power play for the Leafs is 19%, 8 for 42, and the Bruins is 40.4, 19 for 47.
Yeah, it's not great.
That explains a lot.
So Marner was out for a long stretch, and you didn't have him on the power play, and it struggled. Now Nylander's out, and you don't have him, and it struggled. I don't know how many games you had both for at the end of the season there. And it still wasn't great, but boy, it would go a long way to have all your personnel. I know that much.
How much pressure is on Willie to show up Saturday night?
I hope if he comes back that the team's not like, fixed it, Willie's going to do it, you know? Because it's a close game without him. You just hope he's that difference maker.
I abstain from this conversation. I'm so sick of talking about Willie. Willie, won't he? I'm out. You guys can talk about it. Like,
great.
Tell me hey. Tweet out the opening lineup and see if he's in it, then we'll talk. But it's just, I'm not doing this again and again.
I don't blame you.
I thought last night that they were really hurt not having him. I thought, you know, I mentioned earlier that, like, great coverage in the D zone, neutral zone, tough slog, tough to get through. I thought that Willie's a guy who could have made a difference last night in a close game where, you know, Austin, Chris Johnson reported that he, you know, missed morning skate with an illness and he wasn't great last night. They just are missing that one extra guy to me. And last night it was noticeable.
As far as the talk the last 24 hours on Marner being invisible, what did you see out of Marner? Pretty electric first goal.
Yep.
Very Marner-like
great
setup.
Pass. Great
like
pass.
World-class
for sure.
Play in the middle of the ice.
Absolutely.
I had to think at that moment, must have been a good feeling knowing the scrutiny that's been out there for him.
For sure.
But then it kind of... It was similar after that, but I mean, he contributed to a goal.
But it was also similar for a lot of other guys, and I'll include 34.
No, he was no good
Absolutely.
Last night.
I didn't think either of them were good last night, but the Marner play was awesome. Like, it's good for him to make that progress.
But Matthews won't get nearly the scrutiny for having a bad game.
Go ahead and scrutinize. Yeah, that's what we do.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't think that either of them were very effective. I thought... You know, Matthew's a lot quieter. And
tried
Marner,
to use his body. Felt like he had a few more hits than...
Yeah.
Like, he had a couple early in the first period where he nailed a couple people pretty good, but, like, just not even close to the same guy he was in game two.
And
game two, he was unbelievable last night, not as
much. Marner turned the puck over a lot. Tavares just isn't capable of doing those things for them. So, again, very close game without getting elite performances from guys you expect good games from. So
tough on the power play. The penalty kill still... Can't find a way to suck the momentum out of Boston.
McCabe came way over on that one and left the net front. I don't know. That felt very aggressive to me for a PK.
We could actually just replay so many shows we've done.
Yeah.
Hey, bad special teams, bad goal on your goalie. Their other goalie makes a million saves. End of show.
Yeah.
I've watched that same playoff game with this Leafs in this era literally 10 times. It's just, it continues to be the same things. Like, the Leafs are completely fine at 5-on-5. They are totally fine at 5-on-5, and you need your power play to get you two goals last night, and you win the game.
At 5-on-5, they've heavily outshot, no chance, the Bruins. Why don't we listen to Sheldon tell us about the penalty kill and what he thinks?
Well, it's, you know, we just got to do a better job of, you know, the details. You know, if you break down each goal, it's been... Each goal we've given up is a different mistake at a different time. Today, you know, we're stealing the wall, we lose a battle, and we get beat 3-on-1 coming off the wall. Can't happen. So, little details inside of that it hasn't been the same thing. It's been different things that have led to goals against. But you know, we got to find a way through that.
So it's so much worse.
There's a lot of can't happens.
Can I ask you guys, like, if you were going to rank the most coachable things in a hockey game, mm-hmm. where do special teams rank?
Probably the top of the list.
Okay. So we're in how many straight playoffs here now? With this being a massive issue?
Totally.
Like, but the message can be different in so many ways, but when do you just finally say that it's just not the right makeup?
Like, we don't have the right personnel?
Right. It's a personnel. It's not X's and O's. It's just personnel. And I'll go back to the beginning of the season or the summer. Let's go to the summer. And what was the number one reason why you went out and thought that you needed to spend $4.1 million on Klingberg?
What was you don't the, have what, someone what at the top reason? On the special teams on PK. Or sorry, PP. You don't have a PP guy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Has to be, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you go and get him. You go through training camp. You go for the start of the game or the start of the season. And this is the direction that you want to go. Mm-hmm. And then you lose them. And then you revert right back to what's been the issue the last few years. Like, okay, if you had the thought at last summer to have a different look or have a guy that can give your power play a completely different look, why just mm-hmm. wave up the white flag and go back to what wasn't working a year ago?
Yeah. I think Morgan has managed them to a fairly high success rate over the years. I think he's not a positive add to it necessarily, but I think they kind of think it's like, all right, they're fine with him. Last year we got through a playoff round over 20% and we win one with Morgan. I think it's like a fine solution to them. For me right now, what can you do before game four that helps on these special teams? The one thing to me, and I'm the only person who keeps saying it and everyone boos me, is TJ Brody played the most minutes shorthanded for the Toronto Maple Leafs this year. He's a good penalty killer. Timothy Liljegren, he pinches on the Frederick goal that kind of lets a lane go. He turns a puck over on the Marchand winner. He has full possession of the puck behind the net. I didn't notice him outside of those two plays. Everyone's like, he's right-handed. Okay. Mm. Well, he's not playing good.
No, you're right. It's time.
I'd like to see Brody.
Time for the switch.
It is.
I thought there was a chance that it could happen in game two. They win.
Yeah.
They stick with it.
But that's probably it, right? They get the win, so they go to game three.
Now you got to give the guys sometimes just a different look, a different feel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the good thing is he's been out long enough. You know, I mean, he's chomping because he took warm up. You know, very seldom would you see a veteran of his stature, knowing that he's not playing, take warm up.
You think that's for Boston's sake?
I don't know.
Like, we're not sure who we're getting because your game plan doesn't change.
I mean, a little bit.
Enough. Right. Willie might play. Brody might play. Shut up, play. Like, I don't care.
Yeah.
It's like give me a break.
You think Marchand's looking over and seeing who's warming up, and it's like, ooh, they might put Brody in. Right?
You guys make fun of this stuff. It depends. It determines how the coaches do their deployment.
With some guys, yes, I get it for sure.
I understand that Brody Liljegren is the ultimate, like, we don't care. Yeah, that doesn't matter.
We hope both of them play.
But really is a significant alteration to how the team would think about playing them.
All right, we still got plenty to get into.
Yeah.
Well, you want to take a quick break and we'll come back?
Yeah, sure. We'll
do it. Okay. And we've also got your game time at the top after the break here. So plenty more to dissect on the Toronto Maple Leafs as they go down 2-1 in the series with the Boston Bruins. More when we return on Real Kipper and Bourne.
Covering the Blue Jays from an analytical perspective, Jays Talk Plus with Blake Murphy. Be sure to subscribe and download Jays Talk on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ben Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee on our condensed version of the Real Kipper and Bourne Show, Leaf Edition. Sammy, take it away with Game Time.
It's Game Time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19+. Ontario only. Please play responsibly. Only two games tonight, boys.
What is that?
Too slow. Too slow for me.
Eight series and we get two games?
Florida Panthers and Tampa Bay Lightning in a couple crucial game threes for the home teams mm-hmm. with the New York Islanders as well coming home to take on with the Sorokin and net. Your New York Islanders, bud, are plus 140 on home ice. Actually, don't mind the number. Yeah. You know, you think they maybe get one. They played well.
You're going to get one last push.
So maybe tonight would be the one they get. Plus 140, not a terrible number. And it's pretty close to even money in Florida and Tampa. Minus 105 for the Panthers. Minus 115 for the Tampa Bay Lightning. They like the Lightning a little bit tonight. Think they're probably going to get back in the series. And the other one I wanted to bring up, because we're not going to get time to talk about my Golden Knights. But the Golden Knights are now a minus 450 favorite to take out the powerhouse Dallas Stars in the first round.
Boy, am I looking like a schmuck.
Man, did you watch any of that game last night?
You didn't know they'd be playing a completely revamped roster.
Buddy, they're going to win the Cup. They are,
you know what?
Stacked. Stacked,
yeah,
boys.
Yeah. And again, goaltending, I don't know what they had for shots, 20? 21 Dallas?
Yeah, not 22. Much. Couldn't get a sniff. Like,
does it really matter?
Yeah. No.
When you have that defense?
And Hanifin's flying, scores the winning goal. Like,
you got a fresh Hurdle and a fresh Stone. The more games they get, the more dangerous they are.
Tipper, you said it. Hurdle's massive. He's massive. A huge guy.
I don't know. I think he grew since game one.
Did he get new equipment? Or like, I don't know what it is. He's just huge. No. So anyways, that was Game Time presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
All right, 35 minutes in. And we didn't really touch yet on the Boston Bruin goaltending. It could be that we could look back at this series and simply say at the end of it, the Leafs got goalied.
By Jonas Korpisalo and by Carey Price and by Andre Vasilevsky and by how many guys? How many times do you get goalied before it's your own fault?
I mean, those are a couple of Vezina winners in there.
No, good goalies.
A couple of Vezina winners.
Good goalies. Swayman's awesome. I thought Swayman was so good last night. But I mean, can we run into him like Domi did? I didn't mind that. Everyone else didn't seem to be bothered by that. I liked
Bertuzzi
it.
Just got shoot it in the net on that power play. Beats it into the pillows multiple times. Just shoot it in the top of the net.
Yeah. I didn't like what Max did to Jeremy Swayman.
Oh, you thought you did it on purpose?
I've heard that several times. You know what it is to me?
I didn't think it was on purpose.
You ever play 21 in basketball and your friend is shooting, you know, from the free throw
line?
Give
him a spinner.
Yeah, you throw it off the line, make him lose. That to me is just like... Do what you
First of all, it's easy to give him a 10-minute misconduct for that. Like, you know, it's just you're pushing the envelope.
We've seen this too with Leaf
right?
guys who want to be the agitators.
I don't think it factors in. Just play.
Yeah, okay.
Play
okay.
harder, play, you know, do find different ways. Find different ways to push the envelope than that.
Yeah. Connor Dewar snowed him pretty good in game one. That was fun.
I will say that, you know,
I don't want Max to go into the box for 10 minutes.
No, you need him.
Swayman has been obviously hanging out with his captain a ton, but holy. Oh, what a dive. He barely touched him.
Yeah, I know.
He jumped off his feet.
This is the time of year where you're trying to exaggerate.
I mean, exaggerate.
I didn't think Domi was very good in general last night compared to the other games.
The ice girls were out there. I honestly think there's part of me that didn't think it was totally on purpose.
How gutsy does Montgomery have to be to not play Swayman Saturday night in game four?
Do you want to hear him talk about the goalie before we get into that?
Yes.
Okay, so Montgomery clip three, please, Lancey.
He's been terrific. Like, I just love his compete level and his quickness, right? Like, I mean, when it went 3-2, right after that, there was a barrage of, like, rebounds. I think, if I'm remembering correctly, Bertuzzi had two of the chances. But there was two more, it seemed like. And he was just square to the puck, and he's fighting, and he finds it. Like, it inspires the bench.
There's a frame when it's 2-2 as well, right? Right after they score to tie it up, it goes in off Bertuzzi, and then they turn it over to Domi at the goal line. There's a scramble at the net, and like, you know, it very nearly was 3-2 Leafs, but Swayman gets in there, keeps it out, gets play going the other way.
And he tracks. Like, I know we already had a discussion on the power play, but if Austin's waiting down low, and you mentioned this in our break.
Yeah.
If Austin's down low in almost that Leon Draisaitl spot,
he's dead.
But Swayman's ahead of that. He's ahead of that. Mm-hmm. He's waiting for Austin.
He's way less dangerous. You need to be higher so there can be tips and screens and all those good things. That low Draisaitl Lemieux spot's not going to help you any.
No. But, I mean, the battle part of it to me, when he says that there, like, he just fights to find the puck, mm-hmm. and he's quick and he's decisive, and it's just like, he's really good. And yeah.
There's also another Bertuzzi one. He almost bats in the net. God, he was all over
it. I saw Swayman. There's a sent to me an interview that he did with John Scott on his podcast, talking about how, like, he was in long conversations with the Leafs, and they drafted Ian Scott one pick before Jeremy Swayman got picked.
There it is.
So, I mean,
what are you trying to do to us?
I'm not going to fault whoever made that. It was like a fourth, whatever round it was in. It's like it's a lottery ticket at that point. Maybe it doesn't turn out the same. But just an extra special little twist to the knife for every Leaf fan out there.
Good twist. It's a good twist. So, Allmark, game four.
Please, God.
What do you think? What do you think he does? Because if you say you're going to stick to a rotation, there's no reason to deviate. It's not like Swayman got a shutout.
Swayman, last two seasons versus the Leafs. Now let's update this. 6-0-0, 1-3-1 save, 959 save percentage, and 430 save games.
Yeah, he's been very, very good.
I can't imagine.
I think they're going to go Allmark.
I do too.
But it would be asinine.
Yeah.
That's the word that comes to mind.
Absurd, even.
Okay. That. You would risk going back 2-2 when this guy is money right now for you. Like, if you want to set yourself up to almost make up the decision that is fireable, in my opinion, if you lose this series with Allmark losing Saturday night, go for it.
It's funny, though, like, if you set a plan before the series, the plan is not supposed to be, oh, but if one of you plays well, we're going to scrap the plan. Like, they have a plan. And maybe part of the reason the Swayman is so good when he gets in is this has been part of his rest and rotation, and he's
in
this rhythm.
You're thinking way too hard.
But no. I'm presenting their argument. I would start Swayman in a heartbeat.
Okay.
Of course. If I'm Jim Montgomery, yeah, it's gone. But, you know,
to me, you're just trying to look smarter than
everybody else. That's exactly what I was going to say. If you start Allmark on Saturday, you're making it about yourself.
Yes.
That's
you're trying to prove a point now.
Absolutely.
That I can look different and get way more credit when we win the Stanley Cup. That's all I see if you're not playing Swayman Saturday night.
Stakes are high for them.
Can we give the Boston Bruins decor a little bit more love past McAvoy and Lindholm? Because I think they've looked really big and really...
Yeah.
Like, they're hanging... No, I mean, they battle. The Leafs are coming at them. That's what I see.
Yeah.
I see a Leaf team that is throwing a lot of punches in the first early rounds, and they're absorbing.
Yeah. I guess I'll give them credit in that. The Leafs' offense is once again a playoff story, and someone deserves some credit. We gave Swayman some credit, but it's not like there's been a heap of breakaways and two-on-ones, and, you know, they have been responsible and basically said, try to beat this guy from distance. That's such an advantage when you trust your goalie, where you basically say, we don't have to be aggressive and pinch and whatever. We're going to let you shoot from out there and see if we can get one by from out there. And right now,
he's feeling it. He gets to feel it from long distance shots, where it's just like, then when it gets
first
closer,
shot of the
he's
game
already
is a camp wrister from like 58 feet. Like, and I'm like, what are we doing?
He's like, yes, thank you.
Yeah, like warm up shots.
Let me feel it.
But I thought Carlo has had a good series.
I think Carlo's very good.
Very good.
He's a good defenseman.
And Mason Lauri.
Yeah.
Pretty good effort last night.
He has skill. Like, he's a good offensive player for them. I think he. You know, I love that they have a couple guys out there that maybe they don't trust 100%, but was it Witherspoon gets in and gets a slapper ripped off his knee to start things off?
That looked horrible.
Welcome to the series, man.
As far as the Leafs, any thought about having a conversation about Joseph Woll Saturday night?
I don't think
so. Too late.
I don't think so.
If you're not going to do it, game two. You're not going to do it game four to me.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, that goal is such a killer. And we talked about
it. But it's
just one goal in a series.
But there are also signs that
he made some saves in the first.
He's roller coaster. He's just good enough to lose.
Oh,
if that makes any sense, right now.
That's the worst phrase possible.
Right?
Yeah.
It's not good enough to win. Is my point.
Yeah.
Mm. And there are still signs of Sammy that whether or not he's fishing or off balance, I didn't like the fact that he dropped his stick on the on the Marchand goal.
Yeah.
Right.
Matthews knocked it out of his hand.
I get it.
Yeah.
But how many times have we seen that this year? Mm-hmm. That he's lost a stick and is scrambling.
Yeah.
The trend.
Ends up deep for
a
sure.
A lot.
For sure. But it wouldn't have made a difference. I mean, if he has a stick in his hand.
Well, I don't know. Talk to a lot of goalie coaches and it does make a big difference.
He's more confident to come out and challenge if he's not as worried. You know, I don't know.
Marchand went bar down from the hash marks. It's tough to. It's probably going in regardless if he's got a stick or not.
Yeah. Tough to say, right?
Yeah.
Who knows? But no, it's not a great show.
I agree with you guys that. For whatever reason, we never saw Joseph Woll reset coming off of that lengthy high ankle sprain. Like it never materialized, which still
a couple good starts in
for
there.
Me is baffling.
The one against Carolina was
Carolina,
really good.
He had a good look for sure.
Good against Arizona.
I feel like
Utah.
You know, you would have a very short leash for Samsonov. Like, you know, if you get that Frederick goal goes in or something like that in the first period next time, maybe you say, I'm not going to take the chance to see another one of these. And, you know, if you're that close to going to the other guy. But, no, I don't think he was bad enough to. Mm-mm. He didn't score enough goals. Your power play stunk. You know, he was okay. I think he was probably over 900 save percentage that game.
But, JB, if it's one thing that we've learned so far early in this first round is how critical goaltending is for you. Whether you win or lose. Mm-hmm. And I think we've got some great examples of it so far in this early round. Pick a series. Let's have a goalie conversation and we'll have a better understanding why, for instance, the LA Kings are tied now with the Edmonton Oilers because you look at Talbot and the way he recovered off of that disastrous first game and where you think Skinner is.
Gorgiev did that.
If I'm an Oiler fan, I got some Skinner worries.
Saros.
Yeah.
Keep going. It's a goalie theme here for me early.
The old line that goaltending is like 50% of the game unless you don't have it, then it's 100 or whatever numbers.
Yeah, I was just going
to
say, like, I was listening to Skinner, man. He is all-world kind of goalie thing because he didn't look rattled in the very least.
No.
After last night's game.
Yeah.
And,
I mean, he cannot look rattled.
Maybe it's a good thing. Yeah. Maybe it's not. I don't know. I've never played the position. I don't know. I can't crawl into a goalie's head. But
right.
He was like, yeah, we played good. We're fine.
Expected goals were like 5-1 for Edmonton in that game. So tough to come out with a loss.
So quickly before we go here, Elliot Friedman just posted an article while we've been talking here at 11:44 a.m. about the reason for Willie Nylander's playoff absence is hard to pin down. He says in the opening, I'll just read the opening paragraph. According to multiple sources, William Nylander's absence from the Toronto Maple Leafs lineup has to do with a migraine so severe that team doctors tested to see if he suffered a concussion. One of the reasons for the secrecy around the situation is that an actual diagnosis has been hard to come by, whether it's a migraine, a concussion, or something else that could affect that area.
God, that's tough timing.
But he got rattled. We know he got rattled. So whether it's neck related or a concussion or my like he got rattled and he's not right.
The secrecy led to wild speculation, obviously, even by Toronto standards as to why Nylander missed the first three games of the Boston series. It's believed Nylander first indicated an issue Thursday, the day after the Maple Leafs ended their regular season in Tampa Bay. He played all 82 games in 23-24. So there you go.
You know, not the best potential injury for the Leafs. You know, it's not something like, that bone will heal up in time. You know, this sort of thing can go on for long stretches, and it's tough to
brutal.
Just kind of get your sleep and rest and drink lots of water and cross your fingers. You know, it's So wait and see on that one.
So I just thought I should put that in there.
Yeah, thank you. That's an important note.
So how are we feeling heading into Saturday? Because we got a long time. We're going to be talking about this again tomorrow. We'll tee it up. We have Simmer on tomorrow. Probably talk to Mac, right? Like, how are we feeling talking?
Buddy, this is a series.
Me
too. Okay?
Yeah.
And for me, it's still just getting started.
Couldn't agree more.
So I'm fine.
Yeah.
I'm fine.
I think this Bruins team is there for the taking. I don't know. There's nothing there that says this Leafs team can't beat them. And if they don't, it would be among the more disappointing playoff performances. So I believe in the Leafs. That's what I'm saying here.
If they don't beat them, we know what the issues will be. So, like, it's if you play,
and they have
you,
days to tidy those things up.
If you play 5-on-5, I have loved the Leafs 5-on-5 for all three games. I thought they've been excellent 5-on-5.
Marner's line was great. I think they carried over 80% of the expected
last
goals.
Night?
Yeah,
yeah, it showed. They were
the
awesome.
The second period, Nyes was all over it. He had tons of shots. And
nice, great pass by Marner. Yeah. But it's just the special teams.
A third or fourth line goal could help.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Specialty teams.
I thought Robertson had his worst night.
And get a big save that can close out a game.
Well, that's same as after game one loss. Sitting here today, I don't feel like they need an overhaul. I don't feel like, how do you come back from this? I feel like you just throw your sticks in the middle again and you might win the next one. Like, I don't feel like you need massive changes.
Yeah.
So the other games real quick before we go. Last night, the Edmonton Oilers.
Yep.
Lose 5-4 in overtime. Anze Kopitar. OT winner.
What a man.
This guy's awesome. Oh,
you know, hey, what a shot.
You know who's actually, when we always talk about most underrated guys in the league? Kempe.
Yeah, Kempe is a great
boat. He can shoot it in the net, too.
He is silky. He's mean. Yeah. You got, like, that goal he scores, the bats in it out of midair. Unbelievable. Yeah. I already mentioned my Knights.
Where have they ruled out Sam Bennett officially?
I don't know. Well, he said he was out for a week yesterday. Okay. So.
Oh, is that it? A week? Yeah.
Okay.
That's a big loss.
Yeah, it is. Now, where do you have Tampa coming back in this series?
I don't think Tampa Bay Lightning gets swept. I don't think Florida's good enough for that. So I'll give Tampa tonight.
Agree.
The New York Islanders, on the other hand.
Oh, boy.
Don't ask my opinion.
No, they'll make it 2-1.
Think so?
Yeah, I do. I do.
I feel bad for your boys. Like,
they're going to Sorokin.
You're up big. Yeah. You know, you have all your fans. You start dreaming on what could happen here.
You get a split and go home.
Carolina's had some issues in the playoffs in years past, and all of a sudden the hurricane flies through, and you're going home 2-0.
Did you guys catch any video out of Salt Lake City?
I did.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
Awesome. What a great way to get the boys integrated into the city, show some love, get them excited. Fans excited.
At least there was a connection right away that established that you're wanted.
God, someone cheered for us. You know, that must have felt amazing. They got all fired up in the mic. Was it?
Kerfoot said, this is honestly one of the coolest experiences we've all had as hockey players.
Yeah.
It's like, there's people here.
One of the guys said to the crowd to call Jack McBain spicy tuna, and they all started chanting, spicy tuna. You know, like, that must have felt great.
Was that O'Brien?
Yeah.
Was it O'Brien?
Yeah, okay, yeah. Liam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Spicy tuna.
Old Revo turned him into spicy tuna pretty quick.
He did.
That was a big hit, too, on Zacha. Was it Zacha?
Hammered him.
Reeves has been, I mean, everything you could have hoped for.
Yep.
Yeah.
When you signed him.
Oh, no.
You know, in this series, he's been a really effective player.
And that's what's, the building was like, electric
every
off
time
that
it
hit.
Started to get off that built hit, up and it got
was,
taken away.
Wow.
There's nothing that gets the Toronto fans going.
Series of hits.
Like a bunch of greasiness. Yeah. That's what we love. We've always loved it. And when that happens, Benoit hammers Pasternak. McCabe hammered Pasternak. But it's all within the flow of the game. Yeah. It's not like manufactured.
And McCabe didn't lose his brain after doing it like in playoffs last year.
I did mention that this hour is going to go really fast.
Oh,
didn't
boy.
I?
That's it.
And that's it. Rest of the way. Enjoy your Blue Jay game. What's going on, Sammy? They can hit. They can't hit.
I don't want to talk about it. No further comments or questions at this time. I've got a tea time in Humber Valley. I'm on my way. I'm going to go freeze my butt off.
All right. Hit them long and straight, Sammy.
No, probably not.
Thanks for joining us on this condensed version of The Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Tomorrow, Off the Rails Friday, we are back at our regularly scheduled time slot. And who knows? Maybe we'll find Doug McLean. Enjoy your two games tonight. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening.